forget to wave your palms. So what is it? Is it a parade that we've gathered for? Or is it a funeral procession? Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. In life, when people are gathered for a big celebration, and then suddenly someone pulls the rug out from underneath their feet, and there's nothing but sorrow and loss. Hosanna! Lord, save us! Kyrie eleison! Lord, have mercy. And he does. In the midst of our weeping, our tears, our sorrow, he comes to deal with our sin and our death, even to the cross. Shout aloud, O Zion. Lift up your voice and be glad, O Jerusalem, daughters of the Most High God, for there is good news for you. Humble, mounted on a donkey, the foal of a donkey, comes the one who is your salvation, who is the gift of righteousness for you, your King, your Savior, your Lord. He is sovereign. He's in charge, even when the world doesn't recognize his sovereignty. So which is it? Is it a parade you've come here for? Or a funeral procession to show your respect to the one who dies and in Christ rises? It was supposed to be a celebration. It was supposed to be major fun for high school seniors that were getting ready for prom this spring and graduation this spring. These were kids from poor families. These were kids that would be a part of a first generation with the possibility of dreaming, hoping, and actually attending college. They were going to make a 650-mile trek from the southern part of California up to Humboldt State University, way in the northern part of California. Three buses were chartered by the university. One of the buses, about 100 miles north of Sacramento, was driving, and you can just imagine, I've been on those bus trips with kids, high school kids, the fun, the excitement, the celebration, the dreams, the hopes, almost like the festivities of a parade. And all of a sudden, a FedEx truck, trailer, went through the grassy divide, sideswiped a vehicle, and hit the bus head-on. And it became a fiery inferno. It's only by the grace of God that most of the passengers were somehow able to kick out a glass window and escape before the whole thing incinerated and exploded. The driver of both vehicles were killed. There was a young man by the name of Michael Myvet. Michael got engaged at Christmas over at the Louvre in Paris, France. He had the girl of his dreams there with him. He proposed. She said yes. The two of them were on this bus because Michael was an alumni, a graduate of this university. He graduated in 2007. He's been working with autistic children. It was just a good fit for him and his fiancée, Madison, to go as chaperones. And they both perished on that bus together. There were a set of twins, one on the bus where the accident and the collision happened, and the other twin on a different bus. One of the twins perished. It was supposed to be a celebration. You can imagine the smiles, the rejoicing, the send-offs. One of the boys that was killed, he planned on going to a different university, a great athlete. And at the last minute, he said, well, I suppose, even though I've kind of set my mind on a different university, I should probably go and check this school out. They were going to be up there at Humboldt State University, staying in the dorms, experiencing college life, and suddenly, sorrow and grief. A reminder to us once again that things aren't always as they seem. That there is a text and there's a subtext. That there is Palm Sunday, but it's also a funeral procession. It's the beginning of Holy Week. the one that everyone cries out to, Hosanna, which means, Lord, save us, has come into Jerusalem for that purpose only, to save God's people from sin and death. Ride on, in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. O Christ, your triumphs now begin. O'er captive death and conquered sin. We'll sing that song shortly. Ride on, in majesty. When you hear that phrase, ride on, I mean, do you spell it R-I-D-E or R-I-G-H-T? Supposedly, ride on is a short and abbreviated form for right on target or right on cue. And so Jesus is riding on a donkey, the foal of a mother who's still nursing the little colt. And he's right on, according to the providential will of our Heavenly Father, the righteous one, our salvation. Right on, Jesus, right on. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you, Son of David, Messiah, Savior of the world. I mean, the whole city in the end is going to be in a turmoil, in an uproar. And people are asking, who is this? And all the crowds can say, this is Jesus, a prophet from Nazareth. Right before our gospel, right after our gospel, the blind are given their sight. They know who he is. At this point, the crowds, those who take the shirt off their back and throw their cloaks, their security, their shelter, and those who cut the palms and wave them in praise, don't know, don't yet know who this Son of Man is. Their Savior, their Lord, the Sovereign One. Historians believe that there were two processions on that first Palm Sunday. That supposedly, Pilate had a procession of his own. Now imagine this, if you've never been in the old city of Jerusalem, or even if you have, there's lots of different gates around the city that you can enter it by. There's the Damascus Gate, which is up by the Syrian Road on the west side. That's where Pilate would have come with his parade, his procession on Palm Sunday. Very intentionally scripted. He would have been on that huge stallion that he rode. And there would have been lots of soldiers. And their leather armament would have been polished to the hilt. And they would have had their swords and weapons. You sometimes see it even in our modern era where people want to have a display or a public show of force, and so they'll have their military out there in the tanks and stuff. Well, Pilate was being strategic. In his procession, he wanted to remind all these thousands of people that were gathering for Passover that this was occupied territory, and that Caesar, as the coin said, is Lord. That Caesar is the son or a son of the gods. And if anyone messes with the Pax Romana, the peace that Caesar and the Roman Empire gives, well, come. Hell or fire, huh? I mean, it doesn't matter what comes their way. They're going to be stopped. And Pilate wants to make sure that people understand this message loud and clear. Now, assuming historians are correct about this procession, which was to remind the Jewish people that they were in captivity and they'd better obey, imagine this carefully orchestrated procession of Jesus on the other side of the city, the eastern side, coming down from the Mount of Olives. through what is called the Gate Beautiful. The beautiful gate, which legend says that's where the Shekinah, the glory of God Almighty, calls forth the Sabbath at sundown every Friday night. And also where Messiah would eventually enter the city. So here is Jesus, as Matthew says, in fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. History is not just successive episodes of happen chance. This was done, Matthew says, to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Zechariah. Messiah is going to enter the city and he's going to ride on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey, the one who is our righteousness and our salvation. So here comes Jesus, and the crowds getting caught up in this parade, waving palm leaves and taking their cloaks off. Jesus sent two disciples into the village, and he said, "Go and get a donkey and her colt. If anyone says, 'What are you doing?' just simply say, 'The Lord, the Sovereign One, needs.'" Well, let's face it. What is it that we here in America or in the 21st century hate the most? Somebody lording it over us. Somebody being our God, our Master, our Supreme Sovereign. We want to do as we please. We want to call our own shots. But everything belongs to God. What appears at first to be Jesus setting up two of his disciples to participate in thievery is actually Jesus exercising his sovereignty. The donkey is his, and he has a right to take the donkey and its colt and use it for his purposes without asking permission, because the whole earth and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Two processions going on. Jesus' procession is nothing less than a mockery of Pilate's procession and of Caesar, who is the new Pharaoh, and Rome, who is the new Egypt. Passover was the celebration, the praising of God, who set his people free. You see? Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, riding on a donkey. Well, I know some people say, Matthew didn't understand Hebrew poetry. How do you straddle both? But if it's a nursing colt, I've seen how horses work. I'm assuming that donkeys do the same. They're right there by their mama taking a drink. I don't know quite what that means, but I do know that it was in fulfillment of prophecy. And when I think of donkeys, I think about old movies that I used to watch. Remember Francis the Talking Mule? And isn't a mule the combination of a horse and a donkey? And some people will say about donkeys, you know, they'll say, well, I used to play Donkey Kong, you know, that arcade game. Or I read in the paper today when it came out that in Pine Island, they did what I thought was out loud by the, you know, the animal rights activists nowadays, donkey basketball. Any of you remember that? We used to do that as a fundraiser. Kind of dangerous. You had to wear these helmets and stuff because they could be kind of unruly. Pine Island just did a fundraiser for that. Or when I think about donkeys, I think about the beginning of Jesus' journey. Remember at Christmas time? That there is a pregnant Mary, and because Caesar thinks he's calling the shots and orders the census, they have to travel from way up north, Nazareth, all the way down to Bethlehem. On a donkey, Mary is riding, and Jesus in utero. Donkeys a beast of burden, the pack animal of the poor. Some estimates say that there are 40 million donkeys in the world right now, and 96% of them are in underdeveloped countries and belong to the poor, where they help pump the water out of the ground, or they meal the grain. Blessed are you poor, Jesus said, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Why would it surprise us that Jesus is able to mock Pilate and Caesar's presumed authority and control, and that he would ride a donkey, no less? Donkeys are known to be stubborn. Stubborn as a mule, some people say. Well, it is true that donkeys can be stubborn. But once you earn their trust, they will do almost anything for you. They are sure-footed. David rode a donkey as he was going through the rugged terrains on a lot of his military conquests. It was a donkey that Solomon rode on when he entered the city for his coronation. And if you were going to go through, the Grand Canyon, you'd want a sure-footed animal to ride on. I've read that donkeys are very protective, and that there are a lot of people who have herds of cattle or sheep or goats, and they'll put a donkey in there. And once the donkey has melded with the herd, it'll do everything and anything to protect that herd of cattle or sheep or goats as though it were one of its own offspring. If a predator comes, the donkey will bray a warning, and it will chase the predators away. And in the wild, donkeys will have a lead donkey, and that lead donkey will lay down its life, fighting off the predators so that the rest can escape. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." It doesn't surprise me that Jesus, in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. St. Paul says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." The parade is a funeral procession. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Caesar isn't Lord. Caesar isn't calling the shots. Jesus isn't entering Jerusalem to get rid of the Romans. Ride on. Ride on in majesty. In lowly pomp, ride on to die. O Christ, your triumphs now begin. Or captive death and conquered sin. Ride on. Ride on, Jesus. Hosanna. Our Lord saves. So raise your palms in praise to God. Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.